Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB. 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Today we're going to get into a certain segment of conspiracy, and we're going to talk about QAnon. And what is it? Do we need it? Who is it? And what's going on? Where's it come from, and who's buying into it? And we've got a researcher and an anonymous QAnon podcaster, and we'll call him Travis View. Thank you for joining us today, Trav.
Al, Joe, thank you so much for having me on.
So let's just start with that right out the gate. QAnon, what is it? What does it mean? So for the people that don't know anything about it, or they've heard the name floating around, but they don't really get what this is. Maybe give us a rundown on that.
Sure. Well, QAnon is a very elaborate sort of internet-based conspiracy theory. In fact, it's almost like a meta conspiracy theory that connects almost every other conspiracy theory you might have heard of. And it basically purports that there is sort of an evil worldwide cabal of people who really control the world. They control all the politicians, and they control the media, and they control so everything basically, like a lot of conspiracy theories posits, everything that we know in day-to-day life is just a lie. But this cabal has a foe in Donald Trump. Since Donald Trump was elected, he is doing battle with this evil worldwide cabal, and he's getting assistance from this entity in military intelligence called the Q Team. And Q Team is a group of unknown people who are helping Trump in the United States government. But Q Team isn't doing this all in darkness. They believe that that this Q team, who is close to President Trump, is sort of communicating very subtly in coded messages through these posts on the image boards 4chan and 8chan. And so periodically, this entity known as Q will make a message, and they're usually very, very cryptic. And the QAnon community, the people who believe in this conspiracy theory, believe that they can sort of know what's really going on by decoding these posts, which they call Q drops. So it's basically, it's this idea that that this evil worldwide cabal is going to go down, any day now, and through decoding these Q drops, then we can know how and when and everything else that's secretly going on behind the scenes.
Hmm. How does that work, but Donald Trump can't read?
It's also based on the sort of the assumption that Donald Trump is actually super hyper competent. He believes that this was that his running for election and helping take down the cabal was in the works for decades. This was all part of a grand elaborate plan that Trump was in on.
So talk a little bit more about this globalist cabal that controls everything. Now, what I hear from some of the supporters of this conspiracy theory is that these are satanic child molesters and they run a sex trafficking ring and this is connected to the Pizzagate. Is that true?
That's definitely part of the theory as well. It was like Pizzagate was really a predecessor to QAnon. Well, sort of Pizzagate sort of posited that there was sort of underground sort of sex trafficking and, you know, child abuse and pedophilia being run out of like DC or the CL, this particular DC pizza parlor. QAnon thinks that it's sort of going on all over the world, and like almost everyone who's really powerful or wealthy or or famous in any sense is kind of in on it. They're kind of in on this sex trafficking. They believe that they use child abuse and pedophilia as a way to sort of blackmail powerful people to keep them so that the cabal can sort of like keep those people in line. And so the idea that there is a lot of hidden child abuse certainly plays into that as well.
So it's a very, so these people, to believe that this is true, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, there's somebody named Q who's giving us secret messages. It's another thing to say that the world is such an evil place where, you know, it's completely controlled by the most evil elements possible. Because it's not like saying, oh, we're controlled by rich people, or we're controlled by rich people who are mean, or controlled by rich people who are murderers. I mean, they've gone after the absolutely worst thing anyone could be. They're running a child sex traffic trade. I mean, it's pretty dark, right?
It is. It's not just that these people are, you know, they're not merely sort of self-interested or selfish. They're not just the elite keeping regular people down. They are like active Satan worshipers. They actively do incredible harm to people. In fact, some even believe that they kill and sacrifice children in order to get adrenochrome, which is a real substance, but they, people in the QAnon community, and this conspiracy theory existed prior to QAnon, but they kind of absorbed it, is the idea that this is a substance that gives the elites, makes them high and sort of helps them reverse aging. So they literally believe that this evil elite cabal kills children for their blood, basically.
And is this linked into the idea of I know that there was a leak in some emails where it suggested that John Podesta, who's a Hillary Clinton confidant, was engaged in, he was having people over for spirit cooking. And the Q people took this to mean that they were going to do some sort of human sacrifice.
Yes. So, the funny thing about that also, this is another way in which sort of Pizzagate was sort of a predecessor to QAnon, because people who believed in Pizzagate thought that by sort of decoding certain code words or sort of messages in the Podesta emails, like pizza or hot dog or whatever, these sort of meant secret things, and they had to be decoded in order to be understood. One of them was spirit cooking, and this is sort of a funny story. That was actually the real spirit cooking dinner. Was a Kickstarter reward from performance artist Maria Abramovich, and she actually listed the spirit cooking dinner on her Kickstarter page. Sort of like she, And I always thought it was kind of absurd to believe that this was a sort of satanic ritual, because she's not covering up very well if she's advertising it as a Kickstarter reward, you know?
Yeah. So I guess if you're doing this satanic, you know, child eating, you probably wouldn't put it on Kickstarter. But if you have the world view, I guess, where the entire world is just this, then I guess it would make sense then, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's this idea that something that they say a lot in the QAnon community is that symbolism will be their downfall. Where the idea that these satanic elites sort of signal to each other in these subtle ways, and they can't help it. This is sort of how they are able to sort of communicate both openly to each other, but secretly to most of the world. So yeah, there is a sort of idea that the evil satanic elites use a sort of a secret language that sort of most people can't pick up on.
So how many people do you find when you follow this online are actively following QAnon?
That's a very difficult question. You know, I often speculate. You know, so the biggest sort of QAnon subreddit on the Reddit platform had over 70,000 subscribers before it was shut down. And there are several sort of big sort of QAnon names that have tens of thousands of followers. And they're all very active, and if you do a Twitter on it, it shows that the majority of them aren't bots. So if I were to speculate, it would probably be, you know, somewhere at 100,000 or so. Take anything I say as anything more than sort of like speculation based upon very, very limited data. But it is a very, very active community. They're on several platforms. They're on 8chan, for example, where lots and lots of believers get together and make theories. They're on Twitter. There's lots and lots of people who regularly make YouTube videos to sort of show their decodes and sort of offer new theories for the community. So the honest answer is I have no idea how big the community is, but it is very, very active.
So, Travis, you referred to this conspiracy theory as sort of a meta conspiracy theory, where people are attaching lots of different conspiracy theories together. So what are some of the sort of stranger things that you've seen attached into this?
Well, you know, one of the most bizarre conspiracy theories, and this is something that sort of kind of existed before, but it was sort of sucked up by the absorbed by the QAnon community, is the idea that Hillary Clinton wanted to that she killed JFK Jr. in the 1999 plane crash off of the Atlantic Ocean. So of course that's not true. It was thoroughly investigated. There was that 1999 plane crash that killed JFK Jr. was caused due to pilot error, but a lot of people believe that JFK Jr. wanted the New York Senate seat that Hillary was running for, and so evil Hillary Clinton went and actually killed her. Killed him. But the interesting thing is that the QAnon community, they take it a step further. They say that Hillary Clinton only attempted to kill JFK Jr. in that plane crash, but in reality, he survived, and now he's currently working with Donald Trump in order to help take down the cabal.
So I guess the conspiracy theory that Clinton killed JFK Jr. isn't good enough. You have to develop a conspiracy theory. You have to take that as fact and then take a conspiracy theory that builds off of that.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm really fascinated by the sort of, it's almost like a sect of QAnon, because actually the entity Q has been asked about this on 8chan directly. There, some other Anon on HN asked Q, is JFK Jr. alive? And Q said, no, N-O, period, which is very unusual. Usually Q speaks of these really cryptic phrases, or they use Socratic questions, leading questions to sort of draw people into an answer. So this is a direct denial of that element, the conspiracy theory. But this community who believes that JFK Jr. is alive and helping Donald Trump persists. They get together, they make these long, long videos sort of explaining about what they believe JFK Jr. is up to. And it is extremely bizarre. It's I can't describe anything else besides sort of like a total assault on reality. It's strange.
So why do you think they picked out JFK Jr.? Because that seems so obscure. It was 20 years ago that he passed.
Yeah.
So where do you think the fascination comes from? Is it just they're looking for things to connect to Clinton somehow, and this had some sort of loose connection, or?
I have a lot of theories about why they're particularly enamored with JFK Jr. I think the first element is the fact that they have they're really attracted to conspiracy theorists generally are fascinated with JFK. They believe that he was taken out by the deep state, for example, JFK Jr. Is sort of like that they were, you know, targeting JFK Jr. possibly for the same reasons. The other aspect is that a lot of QAnon people, it is sort of generally considered to be a far right conspiracy theory, but they have this vision that it's going to be a bipartisan movement. And so since JFK Jr. was a Democrat, they have this idea that he's going to come back and he's going to sort of like help Donald Trump, the Republican, and sort of build this sort of like this bipartisan movement within the QAnon community.
So that's pretty interesting. I remember when this sort of broke out in the media last August, and it was because some Q supporters wore their Q shirts and memorabilia to a Trump rally in Florida. That's when the media really started to catch on, and there hadn't been any polling at that point. And I did a sort of a strange impromptu poll of Florida, and found that it wasn't that well liked. In fact, it was sort of poorly liked. How Republicans and Democrats rated it didn't vary that much. Yes. Republicans liked it a little bit more than Democrats, but not much. And it made me think, you know, there are actually high-profile left-leaning people that have gotten into this, like Roseanne Barr, for example.
That's true, yes.
And I think she was a socialist, but somehow a Trump supporter, and she was into the whole satanic sex ring thing. And she thought all that was going on and that Trump was somehow a champion fighting all this.
The thing is that it's a very sort of, I guess I have to describe it as sort of a populist movement. And in the sense that they think that the problem isn't any particular political party or any sort of either dominant political philosophy. They just sort of imagine that it's sort of the elites and sort of the entrenched establishment who's doing all these evil things. As an example, they despised, as lots of other Republicans did, they despised John McCain while he's alive, and they also despised George H.W. Bush, because they sort of thought he was sort of a CIA, he was a former CIA guy. They sort of just saw him as sort of the elite establishment who was part of this cabal.
Is it the case that they thought that George H.W. Bush, who passed away recently, that he was still alive and was actually arrested for his supposed running a child sex ring too?
Yes, in both the case of the passing of John McCain and George H.W. Bush, they thought that many in the QAnon community thought they didn't just pass away from brain cancer, which is not John McCain, or natural causes. They thought that they were actually executed for their crimes secretly. And the narrative that they usually posit is that they were sort of given the choice to to be executed silently rather than it be revealed all the evil things that they had truly done, which of course I don't think they've really thought through what a dark and terrible vision this is of the justice system, where you can serve the tried and executed for secret reasons. But this is sort of the explanation that they've been given.
It doesn't seem like the sort of justice that anyone would want. You know, it seems like they're going from one dark reality, you know, where you have really evil people running things, to another one where, oh, we have the bad people and we just force execute them in darkness. And without any sort of trial or any sort of protections.
Yeah, it is, again, it is really, really dark. But they sort of, see it as a sort of a way to sort of counteract the secret evil things that have been doing, that the evil cabal has been doing. Yeah, they openly sort of dream as sort of like a military sort of martial law, at least temporarily, in order to sort of rid, you know, the government of all these evil people. They even sometimes fantasize about U.S. citizens being sent to Guantanamo Bay, prison, which is of course absurd. This is, a U.S. citizen has never been a military detainee.
Yeah, so I guess there's this view that there's going to be these secret military tribunals where there's going to be mass executions of all of these members of the cabal without any sort of trial. So it seems like an extreme, view. But I guess does it build off this idea that they think that the whole Mueller investigation isn't what it seems to be? It's, to them, Mueller is really working for Trump, and his indictments are all going after the secret cabal. Is that the case?
Yes, it's funny thing. It's like they waffle sometimes on Mueller, but there is a large segment of the community who believes that he is secretly working for Trump, and he's only pretending to investigate Donald Trump and the people of Donald Trump's circle in order to basically gain the trust of Democrats and the liberal, what they call the Mockingbird media. And the idea is that by tricking everyone, people who are liberals and on the left, in order to sort of trust and be invested in Mueller's findings, then they won't be able to reject them once he comes out and reveals that, Hillary Clinton and John Podesta and James Comey and all these people did these evil, evil things.
So one question I have to ask is, what do we do about this? I mean, this became very big on 8chan and 4chan, but as you said, it really spread out. So you have this small army of dedicated followers who have set up other channels, to sort of decode all of these messages. Like, you can go onto YouTube, and there's so many people in this, I would call it a community. So I have to wonder, what can be done? Because it seems so dark, and it is potentially dangerous, right?
I mean, yes. There is some sense of danger. There's a case in which a man basically shut down the freeway near the Hoover Dam because he wanted President Trump to release the second Inspector General report, which didn't exist because he was he thought it existed because he was a QAnon believer. There's another case in which someone who in Seattle, a man named Bucky Wolf, who really bought into QAnon, wound up killing his brother with a sword because he told police that he believed that his brother was a lizard. This is really a problem. The question as to what can be done about sort of these people who, by all appearances, seem to be detaching from reality, and in at least a couple of examples, I have been sort of act violence. I really don't know. I mean, I wish I had a really more satisfactory answer for you, but I mean, I'm sure as well as you probably you know better than most but people who are deeply invested in a belief system or a cult, basically, can sort of withstand years and years of failed predictions and, you know, just shrug them off or rationalize them away in one way or another. And so they really do seem very invested and trapped in this completely absurd belief system. I wish I had an answer. I'm hoping someone smarter than me comes up with some way to sort of rehabilitate them back to sort of like normal, I guess, more sort of like a mainstream political discourse. But I just don't know.
So now, do we know who Q is, or who's behind this, or what kind of, is it a group? Is it one person?
The short answer is we really don't know for certain. A lot of the evidence that sort of I've seen is sort of it was sort of created initially. The first couple posts were created initially by basically this group of small group of like social media hackers, basically. And then it was picked up by a group that currently runs a stream called a Patriot Soapbox. There's a great NBC News article that sort of tracked down that the sort of individuals that were seemed to be responsible for the rise of QAnon, and one of them is the person who founded the Patriot Soapbox live stream, and he goes by the name of Pamphletanon or Coleman Rogers. And he seems to appear to post as Q a couple times, but it's possible that basically the password for the trip code, which is how you post as sort of a specific individual on these image.
You should celebrate yourself every day. But some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Or has sort of changed hands a few times. So there is some information on people who are sort of involved in sort of the real people behind Q, but who is currently posting as Q and how involved the Patriot Soapbox team and Coleman Rogers are right now is unknown.
So was there a need, a natural need, and was Q sort of developed out of some sort of resistance or a fear, or is it something that was created to help? Okay, the Trump government or something like. I'm just trying to get to the origins of why they created this Q and started running with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of speculation that a lot of people who sort of bought and sort of long before QAnon, there were people who bought into this sort of this Pizzagate thinking that Hillary Clinton and maybe a lot of Democratic elites were involved in this horrifying child trafficking rings, and these children needed to be not only freed, but Hillary Clinton needed to be charged for these horrifying crimes. And then as time went on after Trump was elected and people maybe who Trump supporters and people who bought into Pizzagate specifically sort of noticed that, you know, these children weren't being freed, you know, Hillary Clinton wasn't being arrested for, you know, running a child trafficking ring. And it seemed like nothing was happening in that sort of this particular fantasy world, basically. And so QAnon, people sort of bought into QAnon in order to resolve that contradiction. And the idea that the reason why, you know, we're not seeing dozens of children being freed from this sex trafficking ring, and the reason we aren't seeing John Podesta or Hillary Clinton being arrested, is because Donald Trump is doing a lot of behind-the-scenes secret work in order to make this happen. But it involves taking down this evil elite. And so there's this big dramatic story that sort of explains why the sort of the Pizzagate believers thought was going to happen wasn't happening yet.
So there's a lot of failed predictions, right? It seems as though Q keeps coming out and saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and then when they don't, he's got to come out and tell his followers, oh, you need to be more patient.
Yep.
Trust the plan, and eventually it's going to happen. But it seems like nothing's happening.
Yeah, I mean, there really are a lot of examples of Q saying something specific is going to happen and just not happening. I mean, the one that I often return to is Q once said that November 11th, 2018 would be the day that would be a parade that the world wouldn't forget, and this would be the day the world was truth. This is one of the few times that Q offered a very specific date. And of course, nothing really, really happened then. And then there was another time where they said that the world would learn the truth in July. And of course that didn't happen. And they predicted a red October. They thought that all of these deep state cabal arrests would happen in October. And of course that didn't happen. And they shrugged these off lots of different ways. And a common way is that Q says, disinformation is necessary. What's really interesting is that whenever there's sort of like a failed prediction, doesn't seem like things are going like they're supposed to according to what Q is saying, they believe that this is actually necessary disinformation in order to trick the cabal or to make them make a mistake or to fool them in some sort of sense. And so they sort of buy this explanation that, well, that, you know, this was basically Q was lying to us, but Q was lying to us for our own good. There was sort of a good, legitimate justification for the failed prediction, even if we don't realize what it is.
So it becomes sort of unfalsifiable, that there's no way to test if this is real or not, because whether the predictions are, you know, whether they come true or not, they're always true. There's no way to say they're wrong. You know, if you go back, you can see religious cults who've done the same thing, where they say, oh, the world's going to end, you know, next Tuesday. And then when it doesn't end, the preacher has to come out and say, well, your prayers saved us, or, you know, God set a new date, or, you know, God told me I'm not supposed to know the real date, so he's punishing us by not destroying the world. So we see these sort of strategies over and over again in other contexts, but it's interesting to see it here. in a way. I mean, would you categorize this as a cult? And is it different than a typical cult?
Yeah. I mean, it really strikes me as it is kind of like a cult. It's almost like a cargo cult in a way. They just sort of believe that, you know, if they can if they sort of know the secrets to this incredible prosperous time that's just around the corner. And if they believe hard enough, they can make it happen.
So
I was going to say, you know, what about the Hoover Dam incident? Like when that Matthew Wright was going out, and he said he was on a mission by Q. Isn't that something we have to be worried about?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are people who take it too far. There was even another incident in which a man who is currently in custody as an arson suspect for allegedly setting a pizza Comet Ping Pong on fire, which is the DC pizzeria who. People believe was at the center of Pizzagate, and there was discovered that his parents' YouTube account posted a QAnon video. So technically his motive is unknown, but it looks like he may have had some QAnon influences as well. I mean the answer is, I mean, yes, there has been some really concerning incidents of violence or near violence, and I think that because these people are so detached from reality, that is a concern. But I think that like the majority of people of QAnon followers that I interact with, they advocate nonviolence, and they think that they don't want to do anything. The interesting thing is, like, I often see a lot of these QAnon people, they really crave some sort of great change, a great sort of revolution. They almost want sort of a dramatic sort of French Revolution sort of style, but they don't want to actually have to, you know, wheel out the guillotines and storm the Bastille themselves. They sort of imagine that Q team and sort of the military will take care of getting rid of all the aristocrats for them, basically.
So one thing that I'm reminded of throughout all this is that Oliver Stone's JFK. Because people look at this Q thing and they say, oh my God, that's sort of new. But if you go back to JFK, that movie, I mean, there you had pedophiles, you had an underground, you know, it was an underground homosexual community, but Oliver Stone portrayed them as pedophiles. And they were working with pretty much everyone, every government agency at every level to kill and then cover up the assassination of JFK. So some of these ideas to me don't seem really new. They just seem rehashed, and designed to paint Trump in a much better light than what the mainstream media does.
Yeah. You know, it's like a lot of these sort of themes about QAnon. Yeah, they aren't new. I think the interesting twist on this, to QAnon, I think. My speculation about the reason why it's been so successful is that almost every sort of like major conspiracy theory, they posit a sort of a hyper competent villain, you know, someone who there's these sort of these super evil, powerful people who are able to pull off these dramatic conspiracies and then cover them up perfectly so that, you know, there's basically no real solid proof that they ever happened. they're super, super hyper competent. And then what QAnon does is that it pairs that hyper competent villain, who's the cabal, with a hyper competent hero who is Q team and Trump and the White Hats. So they think that they're pulling off this counter conspiracy almost, because it is basically conspiracy, the idea that Trump and the White House are all secretly battling people. And so that dramatic conflict between these two basically super hyper competent hyper-confident organizations, I think is very appealing to a lot of people. And I think this is why it sort of it has taken off.
So what should we expect? I mean, we've seen, you know, a small number of people take violence, you know, who believed in this. It's not necessarily the case that they wouldn't have done it anyway or wouldn't have done it based on some other conspiracy theory. But this,
right.
You know, it's such a dark vision that we have to expect that, you know, somebody's going to want to fight fire with fire. And I'm almost surprised that there isn't more. I mean, I've heard about, you know, a group of armed men in the Arizona desert who are looking for these satanic sex traffickers.
But it
seems like we should expect more of this, right?
I'll say that I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, I think that some people have even made parallels, drawn comparisons between QAnon and Aum Shinrikyo, the Japanese cult, which killed several people in basically a poison attack in a subway, and they're concerned that it might even escalate to that level. And so obviously, I do not know if it's going to get quite that dangerous and bad and deadly. But people who are stuck in the cult mindset are certainly capable of doing dangerous things, and it's something that we should watch out for. I'll say that.
Do you find that when we mention cult and QAnon, how do the people that are following it, are they split from relationships with their families just like a cult, or does everybody accept it?
Hmm. The thing is that you actually often see this more often when you get into sort of private Facebook groups. they don't admit this publicly quite as much. But for a lot of people in the QAnon community, they do openly confess that QAnon has caused them to sort of separate from their family. It's strained the relationships. It's because they're so absorbed in this dramatic battle that they think is going on, and they think that this is way more important than their personal sort of relationships. I mean, I almost see it as sort of a way that. It, for a lot of people, it's pretty clear that it gives them a sense of purpose, you know, in a way that perhaps their family life or their career or other religion or their lack thereof just isn't. And so it is cult-like in that sense as well, yeah.
So it's, you know, a lot of times these conspiracy theories, you would think they would really make people miserable, because if you walked around all day saying, oh, our world is controlled by satanic child molesters, then that's a dark place to live. But it seems like this conspiracy theory sort of gives these people hope in some sense, in that, they think elites are up to the worst things imaginable, but they think that there's a way out and that this Q thing is signaling sort of a brighter, better future.
That's true. You know, it is funny. Whenever I ever ask people, at least I get QAnon people to sort of entertain the possibility that QAnon is false. It's never, they only seem capable of entertaining the possibility that that Q team is working to take down the cabal is false. They always assume that the cabal still exists. That's certainly real. That's unquestionably true, and all these evil things are going on. But if QAnon is false, it only means that this evil cabal will stay in power, and there's nobody working to help take them down. So it seems very dark, but in their mindset and their worldview, the Q entity is a hero who is making the world brighter.
So I guess one final question that I have is we don't know who this Q person or persons is, but. I mean, given that some people have taken to violence on this, and that we have reports of people sort of buying into it and either taking bad action or, you know, sort of getting isolated from their families because they have these sort of extreme beliefs, I have received emails from families about their kids saying, you know, I was told about, you know, one family's son who had graduated from college, had everything in front of him, and decided to give up his job in order to move home and become a Q follower. It was important to him because he knows the world's going to be in a different place very soon, and he needs to help people adapt. So, I mean, does this Q person have any conscience whatsoever with what they're doing? I mean, I hear at points, oh, Q has stopped posting, and I'm like, oh, good. But then it keeps coming back.
Of course. The question is, like, does this Q person have any conscience whatsoever? And the answer is, I really don't think so. I really think I can't diagnose someone because I don't have the qualifications. Even if I did, I couldn't diagnose someone from behind some 8chan posts. But they really do act in a really super callous sociopathic way. Like, I'll give you an example. Q once pointed to a parody account on Twitter named Satan. This was an account that sort of made jokes in the voice of the devil, basically. And it was run by this 26-year-old British man. And Q pointed the QAnon followers, claiming that the Satan account was actually run by the elites and used to signal sort of to other evil people. And basically there were some sort of big names behind it. And of course, you know, the QAnon community, they wound up doxing and harassing this person, who is just a person, just a guy, because Q points to them. Now, obviously, Q did not care what happened to this innocent person who was just running a silly little Twitter account. So I think it's pretty clear that this person really only cares about maintaining this cult and feeding them for whatever reason. We think that, you know, they might be monetizing this in sort of other ways, through like t-shirts or through live stream donations, that kind of stuff. But it's pretty clear that they really don't care what happens to their own the QAnon believers or anyone else who might be affected by the QAnon community.
Wow.
Do we know, like, what the Trump administration thinks about the whole QAnon group, or if they're even interested in it?
It's interesting. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, White House press secretary, was once asked after the Florida rally that you mentioned, and her response was super general and vague. And so a reporter asked her, it's like, well, you know, what do you think about, you know, these sort of like QAnon groups? And she didn't respond directly. It's like, oh, you know, we've been very consistent. We reject any organization that that supports violence and that kind of stuff. But she didn't address it directly. So really, the White House has not answered the question directly. In fact, the QAnon community is very, very eager for any reporter to ask either Trump or Press Secretary Sanders about QAnon. In fact, they want people to ask. They say often, ask the Q on Twitter. The idea is that they want people to ask, who is Q, or do you know Q? They want President Trump to address this question directly, because they feel that their theory is that after Trump is asked this question, he'll say, yes, Q is real, and he'll explain everything. But and that this will be sort of the ultimate validation for them. But as of right now, no, the White House has not really directly addressed QAnon.
Do you ever feel threatened by anybody? Like, if you've got a huge Twitter following, and that's kind of how you interact on social media. Are you ever feeling threatened or being watched by anybody?
There are some sort of big sort of QAnon names that sort of debate me, at least. They sort of like, they target me and they take issue with the things I post and things I say. But the answer is no. I've never received any threats or anything that sort of made me feel dangerous. In fact, they've never even yet been able. No one in the QAnon community has been able to dox me. They haven't, they haven't revealed, anything about like my real name or where I live quite yet, which is I always thought was kind of funny. These are sort of the crack researchers that are supposed to be taking down the deep state. They can't even find a guy with a Twitter account, but I really don't feel threatened by them. I know that there certainly have been people who have gone too far, but I really feel like the majority of them really, they think that they can change the world from behind their computer. They don't want to do anything serious themselves.
Yeah. Now, let's give out your, what kind of contact information or where do you want people to follow or hear what you've got to say?
Sure. If you're interested in QAnon, I track what they believe and what they're doing day to day on my Twitter account, and that's @Travis_View, VIEW. And I also have a podcast called QAnon Anonymous, and you can just type QAnon Anonymous into your favorite podcasting app, and we release an episode every week.
Okay, we'll link that to ours. Cool. Now, Joe gets paid by the government. Now, so do you as well? Just because I'm going to get at least 50 emails saying...
Yeah, Al's been telling me about all the hate mail I get, telling me I'm bought and paid for and whatnot.
Yeah, he's obviously paid for. So
I will say, I do have a day job. I work in marketing, but it is for a company that has... It's for a private company that has no connection to any government or political organization. So I'm free and clear.
Liar.
And you haven't been involved in MK Ultra or anything like that, no?
I have not been MK Ultra'd quite yet. If that does happen, I'll be sure to update you.
Well, I'm going to get it. So, okay, well, man, let's order some pizza. And there's really good spirit pizza out there, I hear. Oh. I know a shop. Anyway, it's been a great show, and we really appreciate you taking the time to come on and give us some information about it. Thank you very much, Travis View.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, all shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This is...
been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.